TheYeshiva.net.
Today's class is dedicated in honor of the birthdays of the members of the Fried family. Mazel tov and happy birthday. We have Shmuel Ben Yitzchok HaKoyin turning 60. Larichis Yomim Vishanim Tovus. And his grandson Avram Moshe Ben Yaakov HaKoyin turning 18 years old. Chai. Dedicated by Reb Elliot Kaplan. Thank you very, very much. And Mazel Tov and happy birthday. Larichis Yomim Vishanim Tovus. We've been learning here a Maimer by the Lubavitcher Rebbe of Purim Tovshin Tesvav, Purim 1955, which begins with the Pasuk in Parshas Balak, Reishis Goyim Amalek Vacharisai Ade Ovid. Amalek is the genesis of all the nations, and the end of Amalek is that he will perish. And in order to explain Amalek, Genesis of all the Goyim, of all the Reishis Goyim, Goyim Amalek. Bilam says, Reishis Goyim Amalek, Vacharis Adayav. In order to explain what this means, like everything in Torah, it's not just a physical mitzvah, but it's also a spiritual mitzvah. Meaning it's a mitzvah inside the person, including remembering Amalek and wiping out Amalek. So he began a whole long explanation to understand the whole system of Avodas Hashem, connected to the five levels of the soul. It says in Medrash that the soul has five names: Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida. And therefore, the whole avoda of a person during one's life revolves around these five states of the soul, because that's the operating system, so to speak, of the soul. And that's what we say, that we have five different names, five different levels or dimensions of the soul. And he started to say that the main avoda is what's called with the koiches pnimim. Koiches pnimim means the faculties of the soul that are integrated and manifested more consciously within the human body. And then you have the two last ones, which is chaya yechida, as we will see. We're going to shift now to those two. They're called koiches makifim. The difference of pnimi and, the difference of pnimi and makif. Pnimi means, from the word pnim, when something goes inside, pnimius, it's called pnimi, meaning it's integrated. What does that mean, spiritually speaking? When something is integrated in the person, it can be embodied consciously. So I could be a manifestation of it. That's called a koyach pnimi, a koyach that relates to something pnimius in a way that is relatable to the container, to the vessel. A koyach makif means it's also present, and it also has tremendous influence, but not necessarily in a conscious way. Sometimes it can have even a deeper influence, but it's not in a way that's integrated, and that's why sometimes it's much more powerful, because it's happening on a level and in a way that is beyond my knowledge, beyond my awareness, beyond my consciousness. And as always, there could be makif of kedusha, there could be makif of not kedusha. It could be something very powerful and positive in a constructive way, and it could be something very powerful, but it's not necessarily constructive. It can be the opposite. So nefesh, ruach, neshama are those parts of the soul, so to speak. I'm using part of the word parts because I don't have another word, but it's not really parts. But it's those, let's say, frequencies of the soul. That's probably a better word, that are more integrated within the person. Or at least they could be much more integrated. In that itself, you have nefesh, and you have ruach, and you have neshama. Neshama is connected to Bina, Nishmas Shaddai Tevinim, the Pasuk says. The Neshama gives them understanding. It gives Tevinim, so it's connected to Bina. In Kabbalah and Chassidus and Machshava, Neshama is usually connected with Seichel, cognition, awareness, understanding, particularly Bina, Nishmas Shaddai Tevinim. Ruach is connected with Midas. Ruach is connected to Lev. Heart, midas, the emotional experiences of a person. And you have nefesh, which is connected to the kaved, the liver. And that represents the capacity of the soul to implement, to execute. It relates more to maisa, to action. And that's what he started to explain at length, that the whole avoda of the person is with neshama and ruach and nefesh. And we have two souls. We have a nefesh alakis and a nefesh abahamas. And both, like, the animal soul has nefesh ruach neshama. The divine soul has nefesh ruach neshama. And the avoda, nefesh ruach neshama of the divine soul can ultimately communicate and elevate and sublimate and work with the nefesh ruach neshama of the animal soul. Yeah. Yeah.
Elevating it. Was there a prior way to view it, which is still existent today, which is more along the lines of sublimating it in a way that it represses it?
That's an excellent question. You're asking if there was a paradigm shift.
That's not my question. It's my better half's question.
Okay. You know, as you started to ask it, I was suspicious of that. Very good. Very good. You were listening yesterday. Dava b'shem Imre. It's really a wonderful question. If there is a paradigm shift in Tanya and Chassidus in general about how we deal with the animal soul. Sublimating versus repressing. So I'll just say 2 points. Number one, generally, everything that's discussed in Chassidus, you have earlier. You know, it's not like the Baal Shem Tov created a new Judaism, Chas v'Shalom. Everything you could find, everything is there earlier. What I would say is that Chassidus, it zoomed in, accentuated, emphasized, and brought to light certain dimensions or aspects that could have been either not noticed so much or not emphasized so much, or maybe hidden. If we can use a mushal from, you know, science, physics, if a scientist or physicist says, you know, I discovered something in the genome or in a cell or in an atom that I invented, right? Then it's not science. It's I discovered something that was always there, but we never knew about it, right? And that's there's something called an invention. You know, you build a new toy, a new machine. But you're using the resources and you're using the realities that were always there, even though we weren't aware of them. Electricity was not something that they invented 150 years ago, right? Or germs, or viruses, or bacteria, or fungi, or electrons, or the complexity of a cell, or neurons, etc. It's things that we simply didn't have the tools always to appreciate, but they were always there. So I would say the same is true in Pnimiyus HaTorah. We say Pnimiyus HaTorah, it means it's the Pnimiyus of the Torah. So you open up a Chumash, that's what it says. You open up a Gemara, that's what it says. So that's just one point that's important to emphasize. And it's just with different generations, and as the world progresses towards Geula, so deeper dimensions within Yiddishkeit are revealed, but they're revealed, they're not created. The Gemara says in Megillah, Kol ma she'talmid vasek asad l'chadish, hakol nitin l'Moshe m'Sinai. Anything that a student will ever innovate was given to Moshe from Sinai. What does that mean? It doesn't mean it's not an innovation. It doesn't mean, oh, you don't get credit, you're just plagiarizing Moshe Rabbeinu. It means if it's real Torah, it was already given in Sinai. It could be it was concealed then. You know, the principles were given and you figured out that prat, that detail. But if it's Moshe m'Sinai. The fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Rebbe Rashab, in his writings about learning, so he was writing about certain places where they learn, and the main thing is a chiddush. The main thing is not to understand, the main thing is, did you say something new? So he said, actually, in humor, he says, actually, they actually do real chiddushim, because it's chiddushim that we're not given l'Moshe m'Sinai. He says, it's real chiddushim, it's taka chiddushim. He said, the greatest compliment is that it's not a chiddush, you know. That's number one. But number two, saying that, there was a paradigm shift. Because even though you have that path earlier, like I said, but still, generally speaking, very often the conversation was crushing the Yetzirah. In fact, the term that was usually used was Yetzirah, not Nefesh HaBahamas. And one of the differences is, and Rabbi Adin Steinsaltz, Evin Yisrael, says this in his introduction to Tanya very beautifully. He says, with Yetzirah, the main battle is a battle with a sworn enemy. With a sworn enemy, with an enemy inside of you. Yetzirah means an inclination to evil. Inclinations to evil, you either have to suppress or obliterate, or at least, you know, occupy and control with force. In Tanya, he also uses that word, but the primary word he introduces is Nefesh HaBahamas. Nefesh HaBahamas is not evil. Nobody's going to say a behemoth is evil. Why should? On the contrary, Tzar Balechayim, you learned Bab Mitzvah, Tzar Balechayim, you're not allowed to aggravate an animal. Toiv Hashem Lakol V'Racham Aval Kol Masov. Hashem's compassion is for everything, every single animal. The Gemara tells a story in Maseches Ksuvos that Rebbe, the editor of the Mishnah, Rabbeinu Yehuda HaKadosh, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, we call him Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the editor of the Mishnah, Rabbi Judah the Prince, he once saw a calf. There was a calf, a shaychet, a slaughterer, taking a calf, an egel to the shechita, to slaughter him, and the calf ran under the bosom of Rebbe to be protected. You know, animals are sensitive. So Rebbe sent him off and said, Lekach noitzarta, you were created for this. And he sent him back. And he became ill for 12 or 13 years because of his lack of sensitivity to the animal. And what I want to explain is lack of sensitivity comes back when you're a very sensitive person. It came back to him as an illness. It's not like when we look reward and punishment, it's like you did this, I'll punish you. It's something that comes back. The lack of sensitivity for such a soul, for another person, what did he say? What do you want from the shechita? What do you want? I mean, that's what shechitas look like. But for him, he became sick. And then, 12 or 13 years later, there was a maid in his house, and she was cleaning up, she was sweeping up. The Gemara says this in Maseches Ksuvos. And there was a little weasel, a weasel. So she took the broom, you know, wanted to kill it or hurt it or get rid of it. And Rebbe said, V'racham aval kol ma'asav. Don't hurt the weasel. So this was, his health was restored. What's my point? Nefesh HaBahamas changes it. Nefesh HaBahamas means it can be very, very bad. You can have a German shepherd, you know, you can have a lion, you can have a cheetah, Nefesh HaBahamas. And they're wild, undomesticated beasts. Like it says, Yetzer Leva Adam Ramin Uruf, Ayar, Para Adam Yuvalit. A person is born, as it says, like a wild donkey. But essentially, the Nefesh HaBahamas is not evil. Essentially, the Avodah with the Nefesh HaBahamas is work of education, of enlightenment, of sublimation. It's an Avodah, Rabbi Steinzalt, Rabbi Evan Yisrael puts it, he said, it's not a Melchemes Hashmad, it's an Avodah Chinuchit. It's not a war of Shmad against it. It's work of education. It's pedagogical work with your animal soul. Nobody's going to say the main function of a pedagogue is to destroy the children. Somebody says, what's the main thing of a teacher? Just destroy them all. You know, silence them and make sure they don't say a word during the year. You know, just make, they're all troublemakers. You know, if the approach is everyone in my classroom wants to make trouble and wants to destroy me, we know what the classroom looks like. Either it's a boot camp, a concentration camp, or it's a war zone. Or usually it's a poor teacher against poor children who completely are not on the same wavelength. It's not a war. It's a relationship. It's a relationship that must be built on trust and must be built on connection and must be built on attachment. Are there children who will misbehave? Absolutely. Will there be children who get into a fight? Yeah. Will be the children who are completely not interested in the lesson? Yeah, absolutely. So now I have to figure out how to talk to the children, how to communicate to the children. Should there be consequences? Yeah. Is there discipline? Yeah. But all the discipline is in the context of connection, the context of pedagogy. I want to bring out who you are. Right? So essentially, it's very different than I'm here to fight you, to crush you, to destroy you. That's the achilat. It's a huge shift. The Nefesh HaBahamas can have very, very destructive thoughts. Absolutely. It may want to steal, it may want to kill, it may want to commit crimes. And on a more benign level, it can introduce a lot of darkness into a person. But essentially, and that's the whole point, there is a conversation that needs to happen. The animal has a personality. It's a soul. It has an identity. It has a way of thinking about the world. Its way of thinking may be very limited. Like the Mashal of Avram today, you know, my word processor is addicted to one program, and that's all. That's all it's doing. You know, that's what keeps on running. In the back end, in the front end, there's no other program. But it has a program. It has a way of thinking. A couple of viruses creeped in. Right? It's very predictable. It's always following the same patterns. It needs it, but the point is it has a program. That's what we mean. Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When you reprogram a system, right? I'm not going to destroy you. When you do a code review, I'm not trying to destroy you. I want to see, you know, where the errors creeped in. Yeah. Now, in that itself, there's two stages, something called eskafia and eshapcha. Those are two important words. Eskafia literally means to subdue. Like kofe, kofino, kofin, oise, subjugation or subduing. Eshapcha means transformation. But people make a mistake. They think eskafia means repression. I don't think it means that. Eskafia means not every part of me is ready to be transformed at every moment. It would be nice, but it doesn't work that way. Sometimes, right, I have to listen to the Nefesh HaBahamas and say, you know what? I'm in control. I'm a big boy. You're safe, but we're going to do it this way. You'll be fine. It's like a mother and a father who parent a child with presence. Not with anger, with presence. We're good. We're good. No, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. So I have to listen. I have to know. And I have to say, you know what? Maybe we'll get back to this. We'll talk about it later. And this is what we do internally as well. It's called eskafia because we're not falling prey to the explosive emotion of the animal soul in the sense that I'm going to break your nose or break the windows, right? Because that's what I'm feeling. Or I'm going to run away forever. I may be feeling that way. And that's the little animal is hyperactive or is very vigilant or is filled with crazy fear or anxiety or shame or whatever it is. Every person's Nefesh HaBahamas has their its own unique expression. Depends on the hour of the day. Depends how it's triggered. So eskafia would mean with compassion to be able to identify it and put it in its place. Put it in its place means understand where it's coming from and understand that this is not exactly the decision I'm going to be following. And it's in simple things. I want to eat a piece of food. The piece of food is not good for me, but I want it. And the Nefesh HaBahamas, in its mindset, said, this is your Mashiach, you know. This piece of cake is your Messiah, right? You eat it and you're happy. I'm not happy 20 minutes later. I'm going to be in a bad mood because it's carbs and sugar. Right? So what do I do? They say, I don't want it. I do want it. This is where eskafia would come in. Eskafia would come in to identify the urge. Appreciate that these urges can be very intense, but ultimately superficial. And then say, I got this one, okay, and I understand. And we move away from it. Eshapcha is already a level where ultimately the urge is transformed. When a person works on their Nefesh HaBahamas and does this, things get transformed. There's always eskafia on other levels. You know, there's different layers of the onion. So that's a general summation of a lot of the discussion. Yeah. So now we go right to holding Perek Zayin, page 293. 293 in your copies, the bottom, the last paragraph. Amnam kalam or leilu b'negei la'avoyde shemitzad ha'dargiz de nefesh ruach neshama. Everything we spoke about relates to the avoyde, to the work in the levels of nefesh ruach. and neshama, which when we're talking about nefesh ruach neshama, sheklalu sam koiches pnimim shebayim bislapshus. Generally, nefesh ruach neshama are called koiches pnimim. What do we mean by koiches pnimim? Shebayim bislapshus. Koiches pnimim, as I said in the beginning of the class, are koiches, faculties, that are pnimim. They're integrated, and they come bislapshus. Bislapshus means they're enclosed, from the word lavush. They're enclosed and manifested and embodied by whatever is containing them. In our case, the animal soul and the body can contain them, can manifest them. They can become a lavush. The point of a garment is, a garment must be suitable in measurement and size to that which is donning the garment. I have to wear a jacket. If I get a smaller jacket, my body won't be able to go into it. So a lavush always has to be something that's tailor-made, that matches that which is dressed up in it. So when you say something comes bihislapshus, it means the way it relates to its environment is one, that it's a relatable. The environment is suitable to it, so it could manifest it. So nefesh, ruach, and neshama come bihislapshus. What does it mean bihislapshus? Their relationship to the body is one that is integrated in the chemistry of the body. The different parts of the body manifest that aspect of the soul, or at least could manifest that aspect of the soul. By definition, therefore, there is a measurement, there is a limit, because it's a conversation that happens in a relatable way. And that's why it can impact the body and the animal soul in a very personal and in a very pnimiyistic, I mean in a very real and visceral way, because it's the aspects of the soul that have more of a measurement. They have more of a limit. Hagbalah is a limit. Medida is a measurement. And now we get to yet a deeper state in consciousness, which comes from yet a deeper dimension of the divine soul in holiness. And this is called the koiches of makifim, not koiches pnimim, but koiches makifim. Shenikroim beklalus b'shem chaya yichida. And they go into the last two categories generally of the soul called chaya and yichida. Nefesh, ruach neshamas, koiches pnimim. Chaya yichida, koiches makifim. Just like in garments, right? My shirt has to be a certain size. The same is true with my pants, same is true with my jacket. Same is true with shoes. You take smaller shoes, and it's squeezing your feet. You can't wear it. Or big shoes, again, you can't wear it. But then you have a lavush that's more like a talus. Take a talus. A talus, over there, it's more flexible. Because the talus, I'm not putting a particular limb, a particular ava, like my hand, through the talus. The talus is more, that's called a lavush makif. It surrounds the whole body. It covers, it envelops much of the body. And therefore, it could be a much larger size than my jacket, because I don't have to fit into the talus. On the contrary, if the talus is big, it's big. It's still a lavush, it's still a garment. So this is just an example in garments themselves. You have, that's why a talus is often called ermakif. It's not limited, it's not defined by a particular limb. It's more of an ur that encompasses the entire body. This is all a mashal, of course. We're not talking here about physical garments. The mashal is the difference of koiches pnimim and koiches makif. Koiches pnimim are koiches where I channel them through awareness and through emotion, through embodiment. Koiches makifim are koiches that have an intensity to them which transcends the ability for them to be embodied and manifested in a limited way, because they don't lend themselves to that limitation. Because they don't subject themselves to that filtering and limitation, so they remain makif. Makif literally means it surrounds you, right? Like hakafas, hakafas. Lahakif, makif, nikif. When you go around something, it's called your makif. What does it mean spiritually? Not that chayichid is around you and not inside of you, but the way it is around in you is as though it was hovering above you, meaning it's not inside of you in a way that they say, this is how I feel, this is how I integrate it, it's inside of me and it has tremendous influence on me. And sometimes more influence than any koiches pnimim, because since I'm not aware of it, so therefore it actually allows itself to have influence in a way that there's no resistance. Koiches pnimim, it has to talk to me, so I have to accept it. Koiches makifim, they can just yield all their influence, positive or negative, kedusha or not kedusha, without any awareness. It doesn't go through all these filters, so it's much more intense. That's called makif. So that's what we're going to see now. We spoke about nefesh, ruach, neshama. There's also chaya yichida. And he starts explaining v'yuvan al pi achilik shebein hasaga 294. Yuvan al pi achilik shebein hasaga b'seichel b'chines neshama linyin ha'akara v'de'iyah. Starting off with chaya, we'll understand this based on the difference between what's called hasaga b'seichel, comprehending something with your seichel. Seichel is with your mind, cognitive faculties. That's called neshama, versus hakara uri'iyah, recognizing something in a way of seeing it. Hine inyan hasagu b'ayfin sheyedeyas inyan mitzat seichel v'hasbara. Hasaga, comprehension, intellectual comprehension, means you know something. But the reason you know it and the way you know it is because of seichel, because hasbara. Because there's a logical explanation of this truth. And it's not just you're being fed a fact, but it can be proven, it can be explained. That's what seichel is, and that's what hasbara means. Lahasbir, to be masbir, to explain it. V'hainu, so even though I know it, I got it, I understand it, make perfect sense. Maybe I can prove it, I can show it to you, I can explain to you what it is. That's all true. But v'hainu, she'en ze ba'ifin shubatz me'yedeyes hadover. By definition, it means, I myself don't know the thing. Ela she'haseichel masbir u'mechayev shehukach. My seichel proves it. It proves it. It's a very subtle distinction he's making here. So I do know it. He says, you don't know it. Your seichel is telling you that this is how it is. It's almost similar. Somebody tells me a story that he saw. I trust him. He's a good guy. He's not a liar. But I wasn't there. I'm not a witness. You're sharing with me a story. Somebody outside of me is telling me a story, but I never saw it. So therefore, even if I trust them and I believe, maybe 100 people are telling me the story. It's not like I'm doubting the facts. They're normal people, they're stable people, they're reliable people, I have a relationship with them. But they're bringing me the story. I didn't see the story. So the Rebbe says that's what seichel is. Seichel essentially is you have a good friend, have a good brain, and he's proving to you that it's this and this and this and that. So he's telling you a story. And this is true with every logical conclusion and every logical idea and awareness is the seichel bringing you information about reality. Information about reality may be accurate, but it's not reality. It's the information of reality.
Filling up the gaps. Filling up the gaps.
Filling up the gaps. Yeah.
You might have a tremendous gaps, and the way you feel it is your way. It's not
right. Reality. Yeah. Therefore, gam lachne sheven adaver besichloi. And therefore, you'll see even when you understand something well with your seichel, yachal lavi chacham gadol yoser velishal kama kushis lavi kama rayis leipach. Somebody who's a greater chacham, somebody who's smarter, or did more research, or lives later and therefore has more tools, or is sharper or deeper, or is more objective. You know, reviews it from a different perspective, could come and ask questions. And bring proofs to the opposite. And suddenly, if you're an objective person, and you don't have this bias that I have to be right, because you're a real person, you try to be objective and analytical and scientific, you're going to have a doubt in the authenticity of your theory, or your idea, or your logical conclusions. And if there's enough questions, which every question is a concealment on the story. So it's like you have this friend told you this Gevaldik Maisa, it's amazing, and maybe you changed your whole plans based on the story. And then somebody comes, right, and shows this crack in the story and this crack in the evidence and this detail is not true and this detail. Okay, so you could still live with it. And then when there's enough questions and enough obstacles, you say, you know what, we're throwing it out of the window. And essentially, this is how wisdom evolves throughout history. Newtonian physics was considered so grounded in reality. Greek philosophy and Greek science for thousands of years Aristotelian science and physics and philosophy. This was the stuff of reality. Mi yavei acher ha-melech. Who's going to come? Today, you know, it's close to obsolete. Newtonian, Isaac Newton was a very, very brilliant man. With the tools he had, he developed systems and patterns that were extremely, extremely impressive and used this true ability to be able to survey and perceive in order to reach conclusions. Came a yidle by the name of Albert Einstein, you know, and upended so much of it. Einsteinian physics, Newtonian physics, it's a completely different universe. What happened? Because this is the process. The process is I was using my seichel, my tools of intellect to be able to inform reality. It told me stories, it came to conclusions. Those stories may be extremely compelling and prevalent. That's what Seichel does. It tries to bring proof. And then somebody comes and with new tools or with new ideas or with new insights or with new developments could upend it all to the point that you say, you know what? I'm not even going to keep a little bit. Sometimes you still try to hold on to the skeleton. We're going to make changes. You make this change, that's what sometimes happens. In other words, you have to fix the old theory. That's the first level. You see this problem. Then sometimes you say, you know what? This whole thing got to go. It's also true in people's lives, right? We also build up theories of life. In order to function, you have to have a theory of life. We do it instinctively, but there's a pattern. There's the way I have learned to operate with life. Now, there's a crack here, a crack there, a crack there, a crack there. So I have to fix this, I have to fix this. And then at some point, you say the whole thing got to go. The whole paradigm got to go. That's a very, very revolutionary moment in a person's life. It's not just, you know, people have houses, right? So there's a leak here, so you bring in, the person to fix it. And then there's a leak here, and then this breaks down, that breaks down. Then at some point, somebody comes and says, this place needs a gut job. Sorry. The whole foundation here. We'll fix. You want to really know what's happening? This thing has no existence. I'm just giving a mashal. The same, here we're talking, of course, in Seichel. So, Taka, 1,000 people told me this story. Maybe 100,000 people told me this story. But with new evidence, as reality unfolds, things happen. To take one example, Taka, in science, since Aristotle lived thousands of years ago. He was the tutor of Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great, Alexander of Mykdon from Macedonia, was 100, 200 years before Hanukkah. Hanukkah happened 2,500 years ago. So you're talking about, for thousands of years, the common knowledge by all that followed Aristotle was that what's called the world is a kadmon. What does a kadmon means? There's always a question, how did it come into existence? How did the universe come into existence? The answer is it was always there. So you don't have that problem. Of course, it contradicted the first pasuk in Chumash, Bereshis, Bar Elokim, Shemayim Vesaretz, which means the first word is, there's a beginning. Why is that the first word of Torah? First of all, because it's good that the first word of a book should be the beginning, because it's the beginning. But also because it changes everything. If there's a beginning, right, you have to know why was there a beginning. That means there was a transformative change between pre-beginning and beginning. Especially when we know the beginning was also the beginning of time. So it's not just a little change. It's a qualitative quantum leap from a reality that transcends time to a reality that exists with time. Zman is also a nivra. Zman is also created. I think the Vilna Gaon says, Bereshis bara Elokim. Elokim created the concept of beginning. Bereshis is also created. We learn Bereshis bara Elokim is a Shemayim Vesaretz. The Bereshis is also bara Elokim. So that's how powerful the leap is. Suddenly in the 1920s, which was not very long ago, it's our parents' generation. Or grandparents' generation, depends how old you are. There's a whole new theory that completely upended thousands of years of philosophy. And it was till the 1960s, when scientists can detect a sound that they had no explanation for, which at least for most of them confirmed that theory which was proposed in the 1920s about the Big Bang. Now, without getting into the details of what the Big Bang is, but the revolution is, there's a Bereshis, there's a beginning. There's a moment of transformation from Ayin to Yesh. However you want to define the details, and suddenly a philosophy of thousands of years was discarded. So this is just one example. There comes a point where you may be chaylik, you may dismiss the entire inyan. Ach yeshne oifen nayle yoser. But there's a deeper type of relationship with something. It may begin with comprehension. It may begin with information. But then, mamik by bedas chazak. The person immerses himself in it. Bedas chazak. Das chazak means das and powerful das. Intense das. Achesof kol sof bolide hakara. To the point where from seichel it becomes what's called a hakara. Hakara means recognition. But what do we mean by recognition? Similar to the metaphor, nobody is telling me the story anymore. This story I know from myself. And this story I know from myself, 1,000 people could come and show me 1,000 different cracks in the story. Thank you. You may have a good question. But as long as I believe that I'm sane and I'm not having optical illusions, Okay. You may need somebody who... Right, there was the person who was institutionalized, and finally after a few months, the doctor said, you can go. So he said, can you give me an... He says, why? He says, you're fine. You're ke'echad adam. You're normal. Everything is good. So he said, could you give me a note? Could you give me a note that I'm a normal person? He says, absolutely. With your signature, yeah. So this world-renowned doctor makes a note and says, you know, Chaim Yankel, Finkelstein, bit of Meir Zelig, Ben Shloime, Ben Meir, Ben Motel, Ben Moshe David is a normal person. Hachosim, the son of this great world-renowned doctor, Nobel Prize recipient. Okay? This fellow, Chaim Yankel, comes to shul the next day. He goes over to the Rav, and he says, Rebbe, bist an normaler Mensch? Rebbe, are you normal? He says, I try to be. I mean, I hope so. He says, prove it! Prove it! How should I prove it? He says, I could prove it! I could prove it. I have a piece of paper. I'm much more normal than you. I have a star. You have a milva al peh. I have a milva b'shtar, right? You're low in his bal peh. You say you're normal. Your wife probably disagrees. Just my herself. You say you're normal. Your shvigger for sure disagrees. I have a document that I'm normal. So you understand what the... So he sent him back to the doctor. He said...
You should have said that this type of proof requires multiple signatures.
Very good. But you understand my point. A document is very important. A deed. Seichel is like, it's a star, it's a document. I have proof. Hakara means visceral knowledge. Now, of course, if somebody, chas v'shalom, is experiencing mental illness, we have to always be careful with this, right? My eyes could be deceptive. He's giving a marshal that I hear the story, that I see the story. And what if I can't see? And what if I have hallucinations? And what if I see things that don't exist? So we have to always be sensitive to that. But it's trying to bring out a point in terms, it's all a marshal. It's trying to bring out the point. It's a different type of, it's experiential knowledge. That's what das means. It's yours. It's yours. You own it. It's yours. And now somebody could come and ask a lot of questions. It's not going to change. Not because I'm stubborn. If you're stubborn, then it doesn't have to do with what we're taught. That's not das. That's the Nefesh HaBahamas afraid of being disproven. Stubbornness is one of the greatest forms of survival with insecurity. I am so stuck that I have to be stubborn. Ezo Chachem Haloimed Mikol Adam. The power of the Chacham, when you learn Gemara, what's one of the most impressive things, even to a beginner, is the intellectual integrity. There's no bias. There's no biases. There's a Mishnah in Eidi, I think the Mishnah in Eidius. There was a huge machloikus between Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, other Tanoim, about a mikveh, how you build a mikveh, and what passels a mikveh, and how many lugim mayim, mayim shuv, and a very fundamental machloikus about governs the daily Jewish life about a mikveh. And then the Gemara says that there was a weaver, a gardem echad, mishar hashpasos. They don't even know his name. He worked in the gate of dung, shar hashpatot. That's how he's identified. A weaver from the worked in the gate of dung. And he said, I'll tell you what I heard from Shmaya and Naftalian. He testified, and that became the halacha. So you have Beis Shammai, you have Beis Hillel, you have other Tanayim, and then you have this fellow, they don't even know a name, right? He worked with Ashpaz, and he became the authority. Because there's no such a thing, elitism, you know, you come from this mishpacha, we're going to listen to you. The integrity is critical. Intellectual integrity. But here itself, you have two levels. So we're not talking about a stubborn person. We're talking about an open person. But once there's an inyan of das and akar, it's recognition, not because I need to win you, and not because I'm arrogant, not because I can agree. It's a completely different experience. Because I know it with every fiber of my being. And you know something, with every fiber of your being, it's a different relationship. I saw this story, I didn't hear this story. Hadugmala is an example for this. Is kafi shiroyim sha'atinik yidei likritz abba oid lufnei nasa balsechel. The Gemara says a child, and we see a child, could say abba or ima, right? Tate, father, tati, mami, mama, even before the child becomes a balsechel, meaning has a developed brain of how to understand what a father is, what a mother is, why are you my father, what's the relationship between me and you, how did that happen? He may not know that. He's not on that level. But still, this is my father, this is my mother. That recognition, you could say it's just a baby recognition. But it's there's something very deep about it. This is a type of hakara. It's certain by him. And questions of seichel won't undermine it. You'll say, yeah, but... I don't know, you'll ask some question. It won't undermine it because it's not hakardim, it's hatseichel, because somebody sat with the child and proved to him that just like 2 plus 2 is 4, so this is your mother. This is just an example. A child, that's the only way he could recognize things. And that's why what children recognize becomes so deeply ingrained, because it's not filtered through the logical construct. If you make a comment to me today about myself, right, my brain is going to take over and is going to say, does it make sense? Does it not make sense? Why does it make sense? The child doesn't have that tool to discriminate, to dissect, to distinguish. So it can go in very, very deep, both in the positive and also the opposite. I don't have that filter of seichel to say, oh, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. This guy has his own problems, right? The child doesn't have that filter. But here we're talking in the positive sense. The recognition of father and mother is a recognition, not mitzad a seicheldik idea. This is what a father is. This is what a mother is. This is how biology works. So I have proof you're my father and mother. It's the part of the brain that has a koyach hakara. So he says, it's not just a child, it's just a dugma. You can have a gadol b'seichel. Somebody who's very, very developed intellectually. Even though he's using a seichel, and he may have reached it through comprehension with seichel, but through going into a deeper place, you reach a hakara that you know yourself it's there. You have a hakara. So it's not like the seichel told me a story and brought me proof about something else, but that reality itself is so vivid. And from this hakada, you reach even a higher place. The recognition is so deep that the eye, we call the third eye, the ena seichel, the eye of the mind, can see it as though you saw something with your physical eye. And then you cannot contradict the authenticity of it through questions, through contradictions. which all come from Seichel, kiven shu ba'atzma yireyes inyan k'mesho. Because you yourself perceive it as is. V'kashireyes inyan k'mesho hu, when you see it that way, nikshiyesh nidovet amenaged master umalim, as I bekoichi lavid avidosibelem v'hester durecharbetunim levatleyo levadere. And then when you see it the way it is, so then when you have a position, when you have something concealing it, it's a whole different type of relationship. You don't at all get deterred from the concealment because you know exactly what it is. You know that this is a blockage. It's not like a question. It doesn't undermine the visceral awareness and clarity. It's obvious. This is a blockage. This is a problem. So it's a whole different relationship. And he says a person has the ability to work it through, either to nullify it or, if possible, to elevate it. This is the avoida that has to do not with bina, but with chachma. And in the levels of the soul, we call it not nefesh, not ruach, not neshama, we call it chaya, the fourth name. This is known as the vision of chachma, the seeing, the ability to see in the third eye, which we call chachma, the mind's eye. I as in E-Y-E, and I as in I, that I. Sha'bitl shenasal yaduhu bitl atzmi. And the bitl it creates is called a bitl atzmi. What do we mean a bitl atzmi? Hainu she'ein ze bitl sheba michutzei menu. It's not a bitl that comes from outside. Shezel bitl ayeshebai dehavon of asaga shaseichel meivin dover shemichutzei menu. Elezel bitl atzmi bitl b'metzias. There's something called bitl hayesh, which comes through understanding, like Seichel understands something outside of me. So the bitl is also something outside of me. And then there's a bitl atzmi. Bitl atzmi means a bitl from within, from the atzmius. The atzmius means from the essence of the person. This is called bitl b'metzius, meaning the entire metzius of the person, the entire reality and identity of the person is transformed or elevated or aligned through this bitl. So there's bitl ayesh, bitl b'metzius, and that's the difference between neshama and chaya. And the example he was giving is from understanding something through the tools of understanding, which is basically like somebody telling me a story that happened somewhere else. So the seichel is telling me that it's so, but it's not a, so to speak, a direct relationship. And then there's a hakara, which is a direct relationship that may start with seichel, but it goes to a much deeper place till a point where it can even be like seeing. Seeing is believing, where nothing can contradict it. If you're going to your chuppah, right, and you have your father on one side, your mother on another side, or whatever the custom is, two fathers, two mothers from both sides, and you turn to your mother on the way to the chuppah, you turn to your father and say, "One second, why are you taking me to the chuppah?" They say, "Well, I'm your mother, I'm your father. Can you prove it? Can you prove it?" It's like that guy, "Do we have a document to prove that you're my father or mother?" It usually doesn't happen, right? What if the child says, "I want proof"? "I want proof you're my father or mother." So what do? They say, "Okay, let's put the chuppah on pause. We could prove it. Today you could prove it, right? You go, you test DNA. You look at the match, say, oh, and we come back with a certificate. I can prove that I'm your father." Technically, you proved it, right? But you understand that there's something very, very sad about this whole story. What's sad about this whole story is that we had to prove it. You proved it. You proved it very well. In fact, you know that your father is your father much better than I know. Because I don't have proof. I don't have proof. We may not even look alike. So I don't even have the external proof. But it's a very sad story.
Doesn't more say that we believe the mother but not the father?
Yeah. That's all. But what happens the opposite? What happens a child who was adopted? Child who was orphaned and taken in by the community. In the olden days, it happened a lot. Or a child who was adopted by someone else. And they grow up, they know their entire life that this is not their biological father and mother. And they're looking for their biological father and mother. suddenly here, the test of DNA is the best thing that happened to this child. Because it's my only way of having a relationship. A woman comes to me one day and says, I'm your mother. A father comes, I'm your real father. Thank you. You know, in China, there's a lot of child trafficking. So, you know, they kidnap kids as babies and bring them to families that don't have children. There's an estimate number that between 25,000 and 200,000 children a year are abducted in China and sold. It's horrific numbers. So not long ago, there was a story, Mamish, not long ago, a father, 24 years he's looking for his son. His son was taken away when he was a little kid. He was playing in the garden in front of the house. He was taken away. 24 years, this man was searching for his son. He recently found him. He traveled the whole China on a motorcycle, a bicycle. He had 10 different bicycles. He was wounded. He was hospitalized. 24 years searching for a kid. And he found him. But how did they prove it? DNA. So here, DNA, oh, that's insulting. No, that's the whole proof. That's the only way I could build a relationship. You understand the difference? If I grew up with my father and mother and say, the way to the chuppah, prove it. Prove that you're my father. Prove you're my mother. Let's do a DNA test before the chuppah. Oy vavoy, what's happened in that house? You say, no, I need to be intellectual. I need to be logical. If you're taking me down the chuppah, I want to know that you're my father. Okay, I mean. You understand? But if we never had a connection, that's proof is the most important proof. So this is the distinction. So the Rebbe says, that's what all seichel is like. All seichel is like going and finding a certificate of DNA to prove that you're my father. It's proof. It's good proof. But everybody understands. Somebody will say, oh, the doctor confused two DNAs. He's not your father. Okay, he's not my father. Yesterday he was, today he's not. That's not how a child knows a father and mother. The Hakadah of a child doesn't have to do with proof. This was the year, and you people got married, and a child is not born in a vacuum. And yeah, there's proof also. We could prove it. But it doesn't add. If somebody will come to you today and say, I'll prove to you that this is your mother. Oh, now, mommy, now I know you're my mother. Now I know. The Rebbe was once talking about emunah. So he says, how do you define emunah? He says, emunah is azach vos akasha macht es nicht schwacher und ateretz macht es nicht starker. Emunah is something that a question won't weaken it and the answer won't strengthen it. When we use the word emunah, we often see it as a weakness. It's blind faith. I believe my grandmother said, I believe my mother said, I believe. They told me in yeshivas, I believe. Emunah is a form of not thinking. That's not what emunah is. That's not what real emunah is. I mean, I know there's that type of emunah. We have Muslim cousins who grow up indoctrinated with certain truths, and they believe it very strongly. They're ready to die for it. Allah Akbar. How serious can you take that emunah? If emunah is based on shutting down your head, brain, shutting down your, closing your eyes, they're called blind faith. I'm not ready for blind faith. By definition, it's blind. In other words, if you open your eyes, you'll see that it's all a game. So the only way I can teach it to you is by telling you, be blind, even if I don't use those words. So Maimer Mishpatim, the Rebbe said, that's emunah means it's something that a question won't make it weaker. And an answer won't make it stronger. Why not? Of course it'll make it weaker. People always email me, I have questions on emunah. Could you answer me? Because if you answer me, I'll get it back. It's an important conversation, but that's not the question of emunah. That's an intellectual conversation. It's a different realm. That's the realm of seichel. And it's an important realm. Right? Prove, could you show me the DNA? And whenever you prove it through DNA, there can also be the doctor can make a mistake. Maybe they took the results of someone else and they confused it with this child. It can happen. Huh? And that's the idea of seichel. And that's how it's supposed to work. you prove something, and I'll ask a question. And then I'll ask another question, and then you'll answer, and I'll ask another question. And maybe my questions will be better than my answers, right? Sometimes in Gemara you have a whole shakal of attire, and by the end the Gemara says, Tiyufta! Checkmate! This opinion is dismissed. Tiyufta, it's refuted, or at least kasha, which means we're left with a kasha. Or sometimes the Gemara will say, Hadri Rabashi Bdusi, whatever was said was actually a lie. It's completely not tenable. You can't embrace it. That's the world of Seichel. The world of Re'iyah, of Chachma, is a different world. You want to give me the DNA and prove she's my mother? Fine, gesunte heit. I mean, it's not going to make me more my mother. She's not going to become more your mother. Now, sometimes you have to stay in the world of Seichel. If you're dealing with scientific theories, and you say, I just see it, and you become addicted to it, because you're winning the Nobel Prize or because you have a tenure in Harvard University, then it's a disaster. Science, by definition, should always be called a theory. What do I mean a theory? A theory means based on the tools that we have today and the instruments that we possess today, which are incredible, this is how we understand reality. But the humility that in 50 years from now, everything may be changed. Maybe not, maybe yeah. That openness to speak as a scientist about absolute truth is really crossing a border that turns me into a religious personality and not a scientist. The koyach, real amunna, doesn't mean it's blind, I don't want to think, I'm intellectually lazy. There's amunna lamata min asechel, there's amunna lamayla min asechel. Amunah l'mayla min haseichel means it's the ability of the soul to perceive reality just like you see something. It's like a sixth sense of the soul that when cultivated, it allows you to absorb ultimate reality. That's called re'iyah. That's called hakara. Reb Hillel Parchin, one of his maimonim, brings an example in halach in Eilat Metzias. There's a difference between simanim and tvi'as ayin. If something is lost, How do I retrieve it? So we have the halacha, if I have a simon, right? And you found it. So I come, and I tell you the simonim, whatever the simonim are, you know, there was this type of knot, it was this type of color, it was found in this particular area, as many identifying simonim I give, and then if it's authenticated, you give it back to me. That's the mitzvah. And then there's something called tvi'as ayin. Tvi'as ayin, the Gemara says, a tzurva mirabanan, a Talmud Chacham, who's known as a very, very honest, you know, scrupulous person, who will never take something that may not be his. Even if there's no siman, he has a tvi'as ayin. My talus looks like everybody else's talus. I don't have a siman. My coat looks like another 100 coats in shul. But I have a tvi'as ayin. What's the difference of simanim and tvi'as ayin? Simonim is, it's an identifying mark that proves that it's mine. Tvi'as ayin is a mashal and halacha. What's your identifying mark? We have a relationship. When you wear something for a while, you have a relationship. It's a mashal and halacha for this difference. Tvi'as ayin means, it's mine. Prove it. Prove it. You have the DNA of the coat. Prove it. A simon is proof. Huh? So that's what he says, yeah. So even as an adult, there's the level of what we call seichel, and which is very important, because that's the beginning of contact. And if I didn't grow up with my father and mother, if I'm adopted, that's the only thing I have. The only thing I have, seichel. There was the Zidichaiver, Sarbeis Hasev, Tzviyesh of Zidichaiv. So he has a very critical essay on the Alter Rebbe, on the Balatanya, for using Chachma bin Adas. He said, Anaya Maisa, since when do Jews use Seichel? He's upset at the Rambam. He's upset at anyone. He says, that's how we became Jews. We became Jews from Yetzias Mitzrayim, from Kriyas Yamsa, from Matan Torah. Stop with all the philosophy. Philosophy is good for the Greeks. He's very upset at all the Shara Yichud V'Emuna, all the Svarim that deal with Achdus Hashem, the Chavis Alevavis. That's what he writes. So the Bnei Yisoscha has a commentary. So Sefer called, I think, Sur Meirava Seitov. So as a commentary, he said, it's all very nice for him. He said, if somebody was by Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf and Matan Torah, you're right. But this is for people who weren't there. Sometimes this is the way you give them access to it. What is he trying to say? He's trying to say, if you were by Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf and Matan Torah, so now you're looking for DNA? Your mother looks at you and says, I raised you. I gave birth to you. I was up with you night after night after night. When you were in the hospital for 3 months, I sat by your bed 24/7. I nurtured you 24/7. Now you're going to go get me DNA? And if we get DNA, that's what's going to create the relationship. But if you never had a mother, if you're an orphan, if you're adopted, so what should you do? Say, okay, forget it. I close my mind. Now, yeah, I need DNA. I need proof. Yeah. I need Adis. I need people to say, oh, I remember 39 years ago, this woman had a connection to you. That's what I have. Adis. I need Simonim. That's called Simonim. I don't have Tvias Ayah. I can't look at this person and know with every fiber, this is my mother, this is my father. This is already something called Das, Das Chazak. Va'adam Yoda es Chava. Adam Nu Chava means there was intimacy, it's connection. We're talking here intellectually, it's a different type of relationship. Emunah means the soul sees, not the soul hears, not the soul understands. The soul sees. Are there questions? You may give me a million proofs that my mother is not my mother. Fine, I hear you. I don't have an answer. You know what? I don't need an answer. And I'm not afraid of questions. Real emunah is not afraid of questions. People think if you have emunah, you have to be blind. No, that's already a cult. In a cult, you're afraid of questions because questions will undermine everything. I once had, unfortunately, a friend. He fell into a cult. Sure enough, an Olam HaEmes. It was a real churban. So I would talk to him. And he once told me he can't talk to me anymore. I said, why? He says, the cult leader told him, it was a cult in Philadelphia, that he shouldn't talk to me anymore. I said, why? He said, because he said that you won't understand and you're not interested in the truth. And therefore, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. I said, maybe he doesn't want me to talk to you because I may ask you a good question. He said, no, can't be. If I'm afraid of my position, I don't want you to talk to certain people. I don't even want you to talk to yourself. Because if you talk to yourself, you may ask good questions. Real emuna is confident. It's not lamata menasech, lamayla menasech. Shtus dikdush is lamayla menasech. You seichel adarab. If you need it, gesundheit. You want to go to the DNA path. It's very interesting and it's fascinating. But it's not what's going to nourish the soul. The nourishment of the soul is the iyur shebechachma. It's the seeing. It's the visceral knowledge. It's the relationship itself. When you prove Hashem's existence through seichel, you don't have the divine experience. You have proof that people, your seichel said, I have a good story for you. But I don't have direct connection with that story. The connection with that story, that requires a different skill in the soul. It's a different, the soul has it, but it's a different, this is called chaya shebin neshama. And that's why it's a koyach makif. Koyach makif means it's more transcendent. It's not filtered through the limited structure of logic, which by definition is all about structure. And because it's about structure, it can't be toifus infinity. It could be Teufel's mathematics. It can discuss the mathematics of infinity, but not infinity. I mean real infinity. I don't mean infinity in terms of numbers. So the bittel of Chachma, of Re'iyah, of Chaya, is a bittel atzmi, not bittel ayesh. Bittel ayesh is like the bittel that other people tell me the story. It has a very deep impact if you tell me the story. And if you prove it through DNA, it's a very powerful thing. But it's not me. It's your story that I trust. The bittel atzmi is the bittel that permeates your entire metzias because it comes completely from within. Once you see something on that level, now when there's an obstacle, it's a whole different relationship. You're not competing with something that can cast a doubt. Now, this is a very sensitive idea, because if you jump ahead, right, a person could just say, I see it, I see it, I see it. In other words, this can also come from a place of blindness. There's nobody to talk to. So that's why he says, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama is important. And then from Neshama, a person can reach a level of Chaya, which is another fuse in the soul. It's a capacity of the soul. And then he says, Amnam. Gamma bitl shematzad hachach mebchines chayu boifin sheyesh metzia shal menagot shetzichim levat lo levadara. Even the bitl of chachma, which is chaya, is something that there is a metzias of an opposition, and you have to be at mevatel, and you have to be at mevader. Either nullify it or elevate it. Vareiz al derech hamavur b'im rebinah sheyesh b'chines ha'ayin shenimshich levatel ha'sayesh. Explained in a sefer Imrei Binah, that's from the Mittler Rebbe, the son of the Balatanya. When you speak about ayin, there's an ayin that is communicated to be mevatel the yesh. V'hainu sha'ayin mis'asik levatel inyan shemechutzei menu. The ayin is immersed to nullify something outside of it. Shemizeh gufa muchach sha'yesh koidim loy. This means that the yesh precedes it, and that's why the ayin needs to be at mevatel, because it has to reckon with it. V'gam yesh le'ezeh erech l'gabayayin, and it has some erech, some value, some significance relative to the ayin. So the ayin is mevatel the yesh, but the definition of the ayin is that it's combating and disproving the yesh. U'lamaylam izahi avayda shematzad yechidah shebenefesh. Deeper yet is the avayda, which we call yechidah shebenefesh. Shechavuka u'dvuka bach. In the hashinus of Sukkos, in the nusach of the Balatanya, is the third day of Sukkos, but everybody says it in the hashinus, we speak about the soul, and we say, Chavuka udvuka bach. Chavuka comes with the word chibuk, techapkeni. It embraces udvuka. It's connected. It's bedvekus. It cleaves, and it's one bach with you. Toyenes ulach. It carries your oil, your yoke. It carries you. Yechida liyachdach. It's called yechida from the word yachid. Right? Yachid chei ha'ilam emelech. Yechida, it's oneness from the word yachid. Singularity, liyachdach, to make you one. He says, this is yichidah. What does this mean? U'metzad p'china zu ein melechadchila metzias acheres shetzichem levatla. And mitzad this dimension, there's lechadchila no other metzias that you have to be mevatl. Kivan she'ein shum metzias klal melvat atzmus amu hussein sof. Because in yichidah, there's no reality outside of atzmus amu hussein sof. That's the frequency of Yechida, beyond frequencies. It's the Etzem Mamash. So over there, there's nothing even to be Mevatel. Yeah. It says, Yom, in the Kudatari, the Rebbe says that Yom Kippur is Yom Shin Eschayiv by Chamesh Tfilas. It's a day that's Mechoyiv in Chamesh Tfilas. So the five Tfilas, generally every day we have three Tfilas. Shachris Mincha Maidiv, which is connected to Nefesh Ruach Neshama. Days that there was a carbon, like Shabbos, Rish Chodesh, Yom Tif, we add a fourth tefillah, we call it Musaf. That's the p'china of Chaya. Only in Kippur is the Chamesh tefillah, the fifth tefillah, which is Ne'ilah, that's Keneged Yechidah, that's the level of Yechidah. Yeah. 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 Musaf is Chaya, that's the extra, it's Makif. So Musaf is such an elevated tefillah. And then you have Ne'ilah, that's Yechidah. Why is Ne'ilah called Ne'ilah? So the Gemara says Ne'ilah, it's because Ne'ilah means closing, right? Like Nal is a lock. Lin'ol etadelet, it's to lock it up. So we say in the time of Ne'ilah of Shari Shamayim, the gates of heaven are about to close because the sun is setting on Yom Kippur. So the gates are coming down. So it's like the feeling is, you know, chaparai, you know, throw in your last petitions. You know, you could still vote. You know, vote for a good year, vote for the right year. But chaparayim, because the gates are coming down. That's how we touch Ne'ilah. The Rebbe once said in a sicha, so look at the sichas in volume 4, we learned it once about Yom Kippur, he says there's a deeper touch in Ne'ilah. During the time of Ne'ilah, the gates of heaven came down already, but you're inside. You're inside. That's Ne'ilah. The gates of heaven are closed, but you're not on this side of it, you're on the other side of it. That's the p'chin of Yechida. And that's the distinction he's making between Chaya and Yechida. Chaya is much deeper than a Shama. It's not the relationship of Seichel. It's a relationship like when you see something. It's visceral, it's intimate, it's direct. No question can challenge it, and no answer will make it stronger. You're not in that realm. Again, not because you're stupid and cultish and blind and illiterate and you hate and you're lazy. We're not talking about that. That's a different league. We're talking here about something that's beyond sophistication. It's not afraid of sophistication, it's beyond sophistication. And the pshittis, the Baal Shem Tov said, the pshittis v'na'ish pashit is pshittis ha'atzmos. The simplicity of a simple Jew, that simple emunah is rooted in that emunah of ri'i, of seeing. So he gives a dugma of the Imre Binid is the ayin she'nimshech levat l'sayesh. In other words, you have the ayin that's still competing with the yesh. But the ayin is so real that it's mevatel the yesh. Yesh means somethingness. Ayin is no thingness. And no thingness prevails over somethingness. What does that mean in a person's life? Yesh is when I'm in a mode of somethingness. So I'm always looking for survival. Because it's something that I have to hold on to. Ayin, I'm in a place of no thingness, which is Ein Sof. It's not a thing. So it's the source of everything. If you're a thing, you can't be the source of everything, because you're a thing. If you're no thing or nothing, you're the source of everything. That's what ayin is. So there's a state of ayin where I'm competing with the yesh. That means there's a conception of yesh deep inside that the ayin has to combat, and they have some connection and some relationship. And when you see the reality, it's a different type of dealing with the obstacle. The obstacle doesn't occupy that significant space because you're completely in a different realm. Like, I saw the story, I was there. You want to argue with me? You can argue with me. If you know you were in Australia last night, right? And then somebody proves to you with passports that you weren't in Australia. Because you can only have one passport. And the passport doesn't have a stamp from Australia. You can't get through customs. You're not Superman. You're not Harry Potter. So how did you get into Australia? It's the charaya, you were in New York. A gavaldic questions. So somebody who's trying, if I'm the FBI and I have to investigate, that's going to be the evidence. The evidence is going to be from the passport, right? But if you were there, you know, you could take your questions and ask them. But I know where I was. Unless I'm a certified mishugana, fine, it's something else. Then I can't trust myself. So that's the power of ri'iyah. It's a whole different recognition. It's a different recognition. There's something called Spitzenfingergefühl, you know, intuition, a sixth sense. Sometimes you see things.
But I thought this was visceral. Intuition is something different.
Yeah, I'm just giving different examples.
This is a knowledge. Yeah,
it becomes a knowledge. It becomes a knowledge, and that's what real das is. And deeper then is ri'iyah of chachma, which is even deeper.
So how does intuition play? Does it lead one to
the... Yeah, sometimes intuition opens us up to look again. You know, sometimes our intuitions are very, very on target, you know? I know somebody who was, for years he was working with somebody, but there was always a voice in him that said, this is not a good partnership. It's really not a good partner. But it made sense on paper. It made sense on paper. And just one day he followed his intuition and he detached, and it was a little, rationally didn't make sense. Later, he found out that his intuition knew all along that this was a horrible, horrible relationship. There was something very, very, very toxic and unhealthy. And things that were really undermining him. But there was no proof. But his body knew it. But the intuition began a journey. So there is a level of seeing things. And that's what he calls ri'iyah. And that ayin, that connection, that's a bitl atzmi. It's not from someone else telling me. It's completely from within. But over there, he says, there's still something you have to be mevatel. So nefesh, ruach, and neshama, you're dealing with the nefesh HaBahamas on its own terms. Chaya is already a koyach makif of the neshama. So many ways you can talk to the Nefesh HaBahamas in a way where, you know, come back with a different script. Like, it's so obvious what the Nefesh HaLakis is, what the soul is. You know, come back with a different script. And the way you deal with it is, there's a certain clarity and a confidence that is completely not confusing. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, you can get confused because you're talking one brain to another brain. In Chayit, there's a clarity of the Nefesh HaLakis that's indisputable. And therefore, it's very identifiable. Are you an obstacle? Are you not an obstacle? What I need to do to help you? What you need to do to help yourself? You could still have compassion, but there's a clarity that's indisputable. You don't get entangled in the struggle. That's Chaya. Yechida, there's bechlal no struggle. In Yechida, there's no menaget. Yechida, there's no opposition. Why? Because Yechida is the inyan of chavukot vukabach. There's no other mitzvahs that you have to be mavatl, because there's no mitzvahs outside of Atzmus Ein Sof. Now, I can't just jump to that. There are moments when Yechidus Shebenefesh gets revealed. There are such moments. When that moment happens, Yechidus Shebenefesh gets revealed, what's revealed? What's revealed is all of reality is experienced, so to speak, from Atzmus Ein Sof. And Atzmus Ein Sof is all-inclusive, includes the Nefesh HaBahamas too, so there's no opposition. You say, yeah, but I had trauma and I'm insecure. I know. Yechidah doesn't deny facts. And I feel so much fear. I know. And I feel so much guilt. I know. And I feel so much shame. I know. Yechidah doesn't argue with facts. But Yechidah suddenly lifts up the Nefesh HaBahamas to Atzmus. And in Atzmus, everything is Einayid Mulvada. So I'm not competing, I'm not contending, there's no war, there's no battle, there's no negotiation. There's not even a clarity what you have to do, what you don't have to do. There's lechatchila, no other mitzvahs outside of Ein Sof. That's the frequency of Yechidus HaBenefesh. It's the frequency of Atzmus. It's not frequencies anymore, because it's not light, it's the essence itself. In this space, everything is one. All my experiences in life were just infinite consciousness having a finite experience. So it was infinite consciousness. You never stepped away. Your Nefesh HaBahamas was never separated. You hear what he's saying? There's no mitzvahs that you have to be mevatel. You don't say, let's talk about bittel. Bittel means, yeah, something has to become bottle. Something has to get nullified. What is it? My ego. My ego needs to bittel. There's bittel ayesh, there's bittel b'mitzvahs. There's bittel that's proven to me, that's bittel that's visceral, but it's bittel. The word bittel already means, bittel means to nullify, to subsume, to align, to connect. Yechid means you're in the place of yachid. There's no other mitzvahs to be mevatel. It's like pre-creation. Pre-creation, you need bittel? There's no bittel. Bittel is an insult to yechid. Stop talking to me about bittel. We don't have to talk about bittel.
That ego, does it exist on both levels of Nefesh HaBahamas?
Yeah. Yeah, different level, but yeah.
So Chaya, looks like there is a French word for it, which is was transported to English, clairvoyance.
Which word?
Clairvoyance. Clairvoyance from French word to see.
Clairvoyant. Ria, to see.
Yeah, so it's clear vision beyond physical.
Right, clear vision, yeah. Like do you say the third eye, you know, the mind's eye, that clarity, yeah. And that's what real emunah is. But it's vision. Yeah.
This is it. There's no vision
past
that.
Yeah. Yechidah is above the vision. Chaya, I'm perceiving, but the perception is so crystal clear, there's nothing that's going to undermine it. So you'll ask questions. The questions are good. I may have answers, I may not have answers. Let me ask you a question. You think Jews had answers to the pain of the world? Moshe Rabbeinu said, Lama reyoy salam azah. Yeah. Why didn't they ever say, you know what? Okay, so there's no God. look at the atrocities. Look at the suffering. These are good questions. I know they're good questions. First of all, because I know they're good questions. And because I see who asked them. Moshe Rabbeinu was also a big maimon. He was the maimon. Avraham Avinu. They asked these questions. Yirmiyahu HaNavi, Iyov, David HaMelech. They all asked these questions. But they never said afterwards, okay, so now, based on all these questions, we're going to change the philosophy. And probably this world is just a random mutation and it's a mistake. And he said, no, 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 I'll prove to you from the Adam that there was a and it becomes a philosophical issue. The questions were very real questions, but they knew the questions live in the world of Seichel, and they have to be respected as that. And that's why to give stupid answers, people think that to have a munah, you have to give stupid answers. No. It's insulting people's intelligence. It's insulting people's amunah. Don't give me stupid answers to strengthen my amunah. You know why? Because if my entire amunah is based on those stupid answers, oy va avoy. And that's what you see constantly. You're talking about two realms. You're talking about two leagues. In the world of Seichel, you're asking very good questions. And in fact, my brain cannot wrap itself around certain things. But my brain doesn't have to wrap itself around reality. And therefore, the pain is going to be there. And I don't have to delegitimize the question. I don't have to make believe you're a fool for asking good questions. It's like part of what we spoke yesterday. You know, when you have to start shutting down parts of yourself, it comes back to haunt you. Nefesh Ruach Neshama speaks to the Nefesh Abahamas in its language. Chaya has a clarity of vision that is so visceral, but the questions will not undermine it, but yet it won't undermine the question. It doesn't have to. Emunah is that the question doesn't make it weaker, the answer doesn't make it stronger. So you can appreciate the fact that the brain doesn't have access to this level of reality. I am fine. I understand Ein Sof is Ein Sof, and my structured logic does not get it. If I would have been God, yeah. like Rabbi Yosef Olboy writes, right? Ilu Yedaiti VeYisef. If I would know him, I would be him. You know, sometimes I tell myself, thank God I'm not God like that. It's hard. It's very hard. At least, I mean, I guess if you're that, I don't know, I'm not going to, but sometimes we feel this pressure that we have to be God. You know what I mean? Having to understand the world is a position that only God needs to do. I don't have such an achrayas. It's not one of the tayag mitzvahs. I have a mitzvah to put on tefillin. I have a mitzvah to give tzedakah.
Said somebody who's not interested to understand the world is not their religion.
Yeah, it's true. And the Rambam says that the way to Ave and Yira is to understand the world. Right. But the pressure to understand every mystery and every injustice, it's titanic, it's beyond. And that pressure can itself drive you crazy. So there's a simplicity in Amunah that can experience reality without the need to delegitimize questions and with knowledge that there are questions that are beyond comprehension. And yet it doesn't take away from the reality of Amunah. That's all in Chaya. Then you have Yechida. Yechida is a completely different league. Yechida is the part of the soul that's rooted in the essence of Ein Sof, just like before creation. So there's no other mitzias to be mevatel b'chla. That's not arguing with the Nefesh HaBamas. It's not convincing the Nefesh HaBamas. It's not persuading the Nefesh HaBamas. It's not entangled. It's not even being mevatel anything. It's all oneness. There's nothing outside of Ein Sof. It's the way the world experiences reality, the way it is subsumed in complete oneness, like the ray of a sun in the solar core. The mashal of out there, the ray of the sun in the solar core. We have the ray of the sun, but it's completely, completely subsumed in Ein Sof. So it's all a manifestation of Ein Sof. So it doesn't deny anything that happened to me in my life. But in the level of Yechida, it's all Ein Sof mamash. He says, Ein shum metzias klal melvat atzmus amus. So there's no metzias to be mevat. So there's not any more two souls that are struggling with each other, or convincing each other, or overwhelming each other, or killing each other, or transforming each other. Even transforming each other. I'm not in the field of transformation.
Is Yechida only between human and Kodesh Baruch Hu, or the level of two people?
In real Yechida also translates in relationships between people. Real Yechida doesn't need to be mevatel, doesn't have to nullify anything. So it's experience, if I could use the word experience because I don't have a better word, could be in relationships as well.
Father to son, friend to...
Father to son, and husband to wife, and friend to friend, and person to person. On the contrary, the ultimate relationship is yechida. I'm not just relating to you. So in yechida, you have to understand, it's not just my defenses are down. My defenses being down in a relationship is already one of the biggest and hardest things. Defenses to be down, which means complete trust. Like the trust that a baby has, David HaMelech compares himself, he says, Nafshi kegamul alei imoy. David HaMelech felt like a little suckling in the arms of its mother. You know, you ever look like a little baby, an infant, 3 weeks old, 3 months old. It's cute, it's delicious, it's angelic. And it's being soothed by the mother, just finished eating, right? The mother's waiting for it to give out the burp so she can go to sleep and they can both go to sleep. You know, and the safety in the eyes of that child. You know what I'm talking about? There's a serenity. Unfortunately, we live in a generation today where there's a lot of pressure on mothers to go run back to work after short maternity leave. So sometimes a mother may need it, push it for her own psychological stability to get out of the house. Sometimes she needs it because there's two jobs. They need two jobs to support the family, to pay for the bills. And even then it's a challenge. But sometimes it's part of a modern distortion that having a job outside of the house is somehow more important than holding that baby. But today we know that attachment is the foundation for everything. And the deepest forms of attachment or the lack of it are formed in the earliest time after birth. So there's nothing greater for a mother and father to do than provide attachment for that infant. Because I mean, most scholars in this field say that most of our wounds as we develop is attachment wounds. There was some wound in our attachment as an infant. There's avoidant attachment. There's absent attachment. There's confusing attachment. You know, the mother is on and off. The father is on and off. There's no attachment. And all this creates scars in the development of our brains, which the Nefesh HaBamis is going to have to deal with. Why am I talking about mothers leaving their children? I forgot. Oh, so David HaMelech says, Nafshi kegamul alei imoy, like that safety of the child in the bosom of its mother. You know, that's how he felt. So in a relationship of the Nefesh HaLikis, there's no defenses. Because the Nefesh HaLikis is a likus. So I'm not busy defending. I don't have to be defensive. I trust you, you trust me. That's the foundation of all relationships. And then in that itself, there's the nefesh, there's the ruach, there's neshama, there's chaya, there's yechida. So yechida is the core of the nefesh alekis, yechida leyachtach. There's nothing, it's experiencing einayid mavadai. And it includes everything. So there's no mitzias that you have to be mavat. When Yechida opens up, when the fuse of Yechida gets turned on, the experience of life is absolute, blissful, infinite oneness. And there's no opposition. There's no like, but I disagree because I'm really a very bad person. The Nefesh HaBamis is not a bad person on your level of Yechida. Or look how ruined I am. I'm an incompetent person. Look how much fear I have. Everyone is part of that conversation because it includes the Nefesh HaLikis, the Nefesh HaBamis, it's Yechida LeYachtach. As he says, there's no Metzias outside of Atzmos. But then you have lower, different frequencies of the Nefesh HaLikis. There's the way it's Chaya. Chaya is, it sees, there's a clarity there. It's not Yechida, but there's a clarity. So its relationship to Nefesh HaBamis is one with absolute clarity because we're not in a debate. Neshama, there's already debates, there's conversations. And it's important. It's not bad. A debate doesn't mean you lose. A debate means I have to listen to the other side. You have to listen to what the Nefesh HaBamis says. That's the avodah of Neshama. Because you want to talk to the Nefesh HaBamis. And then there's the avodah of Ruach, there's the avodah of Nefesh. Each one is an avodah. And I can't just wake up in the morning and say, I'm just in Yechida. Real Yechida is not afraid of Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama. Yechida is the essence of all of them. Right, so even in Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, I can hold on to the Yechida. You're before Klois HaNefesh, after Klois HaNefesh, or middle of Klois HaNefesh.
Now, Rabbi, you give a minute to wrap up.
Yeah.
That's like the secret to prayer, right?
Yeah.
So, the secret to Yechida
It's chassidus? Is that right?
Yeah. So that's the truth. In Yiddishkeit, a person reflects Torah, Torah reflects a person. So in Yiddishkeit, you touch on something very beautiful. We have different dimensions of learning Torah. It's known pshat, remez, drush, and soid. So it says in Kabbalah, in the writings of Arizal, pshat is olam ha'asiyah. It's the frequency of asiyah, and that's its power. It's the literal interpretation. In other words, it deals with the world on a concrete level. And then you have remez, drush, and sod. Remez and drush, that's olam ha'yitzir and olam ha'briyah. Sod, which is Kabbalah, is olam ha'atzilus. What do we mean by this? Different levels of Torah explore and relate to different dimensions of the universe. Like if you open up a book of Kabbalah and it speaks about tefillin, it doesn't speak about how to make the black boxes. For that, you look at Shulchan Aruch, how to make the boxes. And how to write the letters, and what to write, and what makes it possible. That's what Shulchan Aruch is. That's Olam Ha'asiyah. And that's the tefillin that I have to put on. If I put on tefillin only in Olam Ha'atzilus, I'm not mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin. I have to eat matzah that actually my teeth can say, ow, the matzah is delicious this year. Etc. But when Kabbalah talks about tefillin, right, the Arizal will say, you're being mamshech dalad moichin. You're being mamshech chachma and bina, and then das as chesed and gvura, and kadesh is chachma, and vahoyiki viyach is bina, and shma is chesed, and vahoyim shmoy is gvura. One said, I thought I'm putting on black boxes. Yeah, you're right. On an asiyah level, it's a black box with parshias inside. On an atzilus level, it's the energy of chachma and bina and chesed and gvura that you just connected to your brain and to your heart. So there's never a contradiction, there's different layers of reality. Just like when I take a microscope and I look at this very table or this very tissue, I'm going to see deeper dimensions of the tissue. It doesn't mean it's not a tissue. It doesn't mean it's not a tissue. It means based on the instruments you have, you will perceive a different level of reality. But ultimately, the tissue is a real tissue. God wanted this tissue. Because the fact that we live in this world and we see a tissue is supposed to be a tissue.
So what's on the level of
So chsidis is yichida. Teres ha-chsidis, that's yichida shabbatayat. It's the fifth level. And what's the nekud of yichida? Nekud of yichida is never, yichida doesn't negate nefesh, ruach, neshama, chai. If yichida is competing with the other four, it's not yichida. That's how you know you're not yichida. Whenever I'm in competition with other people or other Jews or other parts of Torah, it's not yichida. It's not oneness. I'm busy competing. He doesn't compete with nefesh, doesn't compete with ruach, doesn't compete with neshama, doesn't compete with, doesn't even compete with the nefesh of Bahamas. It's a place where everything comes together. Atzmus Ein Sof. So it's the etzem, it's the core, and in the core you have everything, because it's the core of everything. You're not gonna. There's no place where etzem is not there, because if it's a place that etzem is not there, it's not etzem. The ultimate truth is the truth of everything. So it's the truth of nefesh, the truth of ruach, the truth of neshama, the truth of chaya. If it's only truth of yechida, then it's not yechida.
That's why mikol adam, you can learn from all mamish.
Yeah, mikol adam, ezer chacham alamin mikol adam. Yeah, the totality of the person. Like he said before, there's no metzias that you have to be mevatel. Because every metzias is experienced from yechida and in yechida, and over there it's atzmus Ein Sof. So here, all the parts of the person are lechatchila one. So it's not a question of bittel hayesh, bittel b'metzias. It's not even a question of bittel. The word bittel even doesn't apply. Huh? That's the fifth cup of Pesach. You have the four cups that we drink. And you have a kais shel Eliyahu, that's the kais connected to Geula, Mashiach is Yechida. That's the fifth level. That's kais chamishi. We don't drink it yet because it's Yechida Shebenefesh. Hachamishis lepare. The fifth son, very good. So the four sons, it says Darizal, the four sons is Atzilus, Bri, Yitzir, Asiya. Chacham is Atzilus. Rosh is Asiya. You have to always keep those two together. Because Atzilus can influence Asiya. It doesn't get stuck. And then you have Tam, Sheni, Yedeh, Elishal, is Bri, and Yitzir. That's what it says in Kisvi Arizal. The Rebbe used to speak about the fifth son who doesn't come to the Seder. At least the four come to the Seder. And I would say that the fifth son brings out the Yechidish of a Nefesh. And the only way to bring out the fifth son back is if you reach him with Yechidish of a Nefesh. Because in Yechidish of a Nefesh, there's no alienation. There's no alienation. So in many ways, the reason our generation has so many of the fifth sons is to help us stimulate our own Yechidish of a Nefesh. In Yechidish of a Nefesh, it's not just I'm not defensive. It's much deeper than that. Every real relationship is no defenses. You can't have a relationship if my defenses are up. If I sit down with you and there's no complete transparency and trust, our relationship is very superficial. That's why trust in a marriage is everything. Without trust, we don't even begin to connect. It's all fake. I mean, it may be better than a third world war, but it's like two diplomats sitting by a convention in the United Nations. You know what that looks like? Yichid is where there's a complete achdus that's rooted in Ein Sof. It's yichid liyachdach. So b'meila, when you talk about Torah, we literally have different layers of Torah. They all touch a different spectrum of reality. And everyone is rich ad infinitum, because it's all chachma of Ein Sof. But it's the way the Ein Sof comes into nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya. Remember, Ein Sof comes into yichid is nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya. And then there's the pristine element of Yechidah. And over there, it's Yechidah Le'achtach. And that's the energy that people feel when they learn Chassidus. What's the energy? What is it? It's not another vort. It's not a pshat in the Pasuk. You have Rashi, you have Ramban, you have Kleyoka, you have Erechaim, you have Sephorna, you have Ralbag, you have Radak. Right? You have the Medrash. And each one, it's infinitely rich, because it's Teres Hashem. What Chassidus is Megal is the Yechidin in Rashi, the Yechidin in the Ramban, the Yechidin in the Gemara, the Yechidin in Tais, the Yechidin. And the Yechidin never competes with Pshat, never competes with Remez. It doesn't have to put something down in order to become who it is. Because it's not defined by a realm, it's not defined by a color, it's not defined by Pshat, Remez, Drush, Sot. It's the essence of the Pshat, it's the essence of the Remez, it's the essence of the Drush, it's the essence of the Sot. It's the core, it's the DNA, the atzmius of everything. Where is DNA? Where is it? Is it in my hair? Is it in my teeth? Is it in my fingers? Is it it's in my heart maybe? It's only in my brain. It's in the serious limbs. It's in my liver. It's in my kidneys. It's in my nails. And what's the answer? How could that be? Come on, you're comparing? You're comparing a strand of hair? You're comparing a tooth to the brain? You're comparing it to the heart? The answer is etzem. The Baal Shem Tov says from Reb Sadia Gaon, Taka, Ha'etzem kshata toifes bechel, kshata toifes bekulay. Etzem, if you get a bit of it, you got all of it. Nobody understood what the Baal Shem Tov meant. If I take the etzem of this tissue, I have the whole tissue. It's a joke. When you're talking on in DNA, we have a mashal for it. When you're talking about that level of the body, so you could give me the tiniest, tiniest strand of hair, right? It has everything. On the level of etzem. On the level of nerves, no. Sorry, the hair doesn't have nerves. You can cut your hair, I'm not going to scream. You can cut my nails, I'm not going to scream. Everybody understands that certain limbs are more vital than other limbs and more essential to life, etc. But on the level of DNA, every nekuda, if you're part of the organism, every nekuda has the whole etzem. Because what is DNA? DNA is literally the blueprint for the entire body, not just for one strand of hair. It's the entire source code, exactly. And DNA is not busy competing with each other. If DNA is competing with each other in an organism, then we have some serious issues, because it's one. On the level of etzem of Torah, kshatatoif is bechel, kshatatoif is bekuloi. Every nekud of it is everything. It's toif is bekuloi. So that's the b'chin of Yechidah. Can we learn one more paragraph? Okay, let's learn one more paragraph. Ches. V'hine mitzad ha'inyin d'zeh lo'um hazeh aseh alikim arei k'shem sheyesh ne'lo'um hazeh l'neged ha'pchines nefesh ruach neshama k'may kin yesh ne'gam ha'lo'um hazeh k'neged ha'pchines d'chaye yichidah shezeh u'inyonah shel ha'malek. Now we come to ha'malek. Since everything is zeh lo'um hazeh, so just like you have lo'um hazeh, you have unholiness when it comes to nefesh ruach neshama, you also have something that tries to undermine Chaya and even Yechidah. And that's where Mr. Amalek comes in. Chutzpah v'gaiva b'loy taga. Amalek represents chutzpah and arrogance, b'loy taga. The Gemara has an expression, you can be a, Kataga means a crown in Aramaic, a keser. You can be a king without a crown. That's what Amalek wants to be. Chutzpah without a crown. Meaning, I'm not competing with you based on any rationale. For inyan bezeh sheyesh beizeh fanam begaiva. There's two forms of gaiva, two forms of arrogance. That's why it says, ki ga'oi ga'o. In the Shiras Hayam, in the Song of the Sea, they speak about Parai, right? In the beginning. What's the Lashon over there? Az Yashem Ashira Lashem, ki ga'oi ga'o. I'm going to sing to Hashem because he is exalted above the exalted. So Zelo Umaze also, this ga'oi ga'o. This gaiva, that's one type of ga, and then this goi ga, this gaiva, even the gabe gaiva. It's a different level. Gaiva sheyesh lehavana b'seichel, the gaiva leloy tam. This gaiva that can have some rational justification. And then there's a gaiva that doesn't need reasons. Gaiva sheyesh lehavana b'seichel, ikam asher kasav al yishal, lechachem b'chachma asay asher b'ashrei. There's an arrogance where you're a talented fellow. You're a celebrity. People go crazy about you. You're getting validation from the whole world. You have 9 million likes for every stupid clip you send out. Right? So you start telling yourself, you know what? I'm smarter and better than most people. There's something there. Yitaka, talented fellow. Yitaka, I don't know, beautiful, charismatic, interesting. You made a lot of money. It didn't happen from nowhere, right? Your ingenuity is incredible. Your work ethic, your charisma, your fearlessness. You built companies. You're a tycoon. And you look at it and you say, you know what? Chmana psach heftza. When this person walks into the room, right, everybody, and you start taking it seriously. It's a miserable life, but I could see where how the person, how it happened. That's what the Navi says. Don't, al yishal chacham b'chachmasay. Let the chacham not start becoming arrogant because of his wisdom, or the wealthy man because of his wealth. You start thinking it was my strength, koichi v'itzim yadi, my credit, my strength, my brilliance, my resourcefulness, my looks, my handsomeness. And he says, even a person who knows that it was a gift, but he says, you know what, I deserve it. And this creates a relationship to life, one of yeshes and gaiva. I walk around with ears around me, and I walk around with a sense of an inflated sense of self. It's a very difficult life to live because you're so dependent on validation. But this, we can understand how it happens. You know, you're the talk of the town. You own this and you own that. Nobody makes a move without you. You know, I want to go into Google, I need you. I want to go on Facebook, I need you. TikTok, I need you. Instagram, I need you. Even when I want to go to Borough Park on Waze, I need you. Because you created ways. Or et cetera, whatever the type of chachma and gvura it is. V'kivan shegai v'zudim shachas min ha-seichel, azay ha-melchama kenegdu bitula yicholim gam ken lova ha-idei ha-seichel. Since there is some substance behind this gaiva, I can also lead you out of it. I can show you how things happen, how things occurred. In fact, your neighbor in class, your classmate, you know, is much smarter than you. He didn't make it. He also worked harder than you. He also started off in a basement, right? And he's working in a grocery store. If he could make ends meet, he's happy. You could show a person how things work. You can also show them the results of gaiva. Look what happened to your marriage. Look what happened to your children. Look how many escapes you have. Look how crazy you became. Look how many real relationships you have. You can talk people into it, you can talk them out of it. At least you can begin having a conversation that will cast doubt in their head and will bring them on a journey towards bittul, towards healing. It's a journey, but it's a journey where there's a conversation. The Gemara has an expression, there's gaiva, where the arrogant person is actually poverty stricken. Sha'afa bishwats me de shene ashavene chacham. Mikomakamere ugosh is a wayin shall chutzpah belitam. There's a level of chutzpah that is not tuning in to any facts. It's a level of chutzpah that absolutely doesn't have to have any reason, any justification, any substance. So sometimes people lie and they have such an audacity, they don't need any facts, they don't have to deal with anything. I'm just lying for the sake of lying without any feeling of conscience that I have to be committed to truth. This is a level of gaiva, and chutzpah tunes into a space of arrogance that doesn't need any justification. This don't be it bevatel through seichel. It didn't come through seichel. It's not going to leave through seichel. It's not shayach to seichel. You're talking seichel, you're talking to the wrong person. It's like you try to convince a horse to come to the shear. Irrational hatred. What's irrational hatred? Talk and talk and talk and tell me you're a good guy. Yeah, the more you tell me you're a good guy, the more I see how weak and stupid you are, and I'll kill you even better. I'll kill you more with more efficiency. And you have to know it when you see it. The worst thing you can do is negotiate and seichel, and I'll talk you out of it. It's a different level. V'zel klolus inyan d'amalek. This is amalek. Sha'af al pi shohi b'ayim ad'matzav d'am bati rei tachas. As we learned earlier, there was a hot bath. Everybody was in awe of the Jewish people. When you're dealing with Amalek, you must have Chaya Yechida. Why? Because Amalek represented every rational person would stay away from what Amalek did. He destroyed himself. He couldn't help himself. The irrational hatred of Amalek, that level of arrogance and hatred is beyond what you can explain. So now you're starting to explain to Amalek, all he sees is that you're taking him seriously and you're weak. So it motivates him to do it further. What is this in a person's life? We also have this inside. So when a person has this level of Amalek, it's not enough Nefesh Ruach Neshama. Nefesh Ruach Neshama works in a limited way because it's behislapshus. It works with your mind. It works with your heart. So you can affect things that also have a measurement. But things that have no measurements, they defy comprehension. They defy reason. So now when I need to get through to them, I have to go to a level of Chaya Yechida. Sometimes there are obstacles in a person, there's darkness in a person, that with Nefesh Ruach Neshama I will not be able to penetrate it. The person needs to come with the Koyach of Chaya, and even more with the Koyach of Yechida, to be able to deal with Amalek. And that's what he's going to continue, what that means in a person's life. What does Chaya Yechida look like, and how does it affect the Amalek inside of us? Be'ezer Hashem will continue on Monday morning, 7:45 a.m., Shabbos, we have our regular schedule of Shiurim. Everybody have a beautiful day and a Gevaldike Shabbos. And we see the Gilui HaYechida in the whole world. Okay. Thank you to the Yeshiva Sadara Torah for coming and gracing us.
This class is brought to you by the yeshiva.net. Please help us continue the classes. Make even a small contribution at www.theyeshiva.net/donate.